dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome to our spring coverage of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk online radio show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com, joined by Jeremy Ward. And Jeremy and I will start this spring, as we've started doing over the last couple years here, where we're going to split our baseball and softball preview shows. And this is our baseball portion of our preview talk. And you know, Jeremy, as we get right into it, SVC baseball is as good as ever. When you look top to bottom in this year's league, it should be a lot of fun. Just some of your opening thoughts as we get going here on the diamond.
Well, high expectations, no question about it. You got some nice teams and some super talent up and down these rosters. A lot of diversity in the teams that we have in regards to experience. You know, a lot of diversity and pitching depth. And I think at the end of the day that's what it's all about. And as you look at this week and the forecast and all that comes with that, you know, the amount of arms you have capable of going out and winning a tight league game will go a long way in determining, you know, who is really in the mix and who's going to be on the outside looking in.
Well, there's no question. We always seem to be talking about weather when we talk about these preview shows and how it's going to impact pitching when you get into the baseball discussion. So looking forward to it. A lot of fun. Fans, stay with us here. Up first here, we start running down through our SVC baseball teams, and we'll start Edina, Huntington, Paint Valley, and Piketon up next. Well, SVC fans, as the weather's turning, not just baseball season, also some golf around the corner. I want to let you know about Crown Hill Golf Club coming up here in May. They'll have a Thursday night two-person scramble. Also have a Monday morning senior league. These are only a couple of so many deals that they're going to be offering to our SVC listeners. Give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. Ask for Dave or Kevin. Tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you. Well, Jeremy, I think on the baseball side, I'll pass the lead over to you, and as you take us down through alphabetical order, I'll just kind of throw out my take on some of the teams, and we'll just have a little baseball conversation back and forth.
Sounds good. I think, you know, popular opinion in softball was the bottom of the alphabet first, but I think we're going to flip things on their head and probably talk about, you know, I think everybody's favorite, the Edina Warriors coming in. Maybe talk to us a little bit about what gives them that distinction.
Well, you know, gone from last year, the battery of Harper and Shepard, and obviously that's hard to replace. But this is a baseball team that will definitely have the weapons to do just that. Kunkel, Corey Thomas, Free. I could go right down the roster and just keep giving you names. This is a team that's going to hit 1 through 9. They're going to run well in about two-thirds of their lineup. They're going to run about 5-6 arms at you with Thomas and Free at the top of that rotation. Then they have a lot of different specialty types of pitchers. You know, some with good off speed, some with good fastball. Just a lot of versatility. Really, really complete baseball team. Well coached, and they're going to execute you to death. Really high expectations, I'm sure, for the Two Shade Blue.
Well, and like many of the teams in the league, Shane, I think you'd agree that a team that goes out and really challenges themselves in a non-league and in preparation for that gauntlet that is the Division III baseball tournament. Next, we move on to Huntington, and I think some of the key points that you brought up were versatility and athleticism that go along with depth. And you know, Huntington seems to be all one of those teams that they always have a couple athletes that you know are as good as anybody in the conference. It's the depth that often keeps them from sticking their head, poking their nose, as you like to say, at the top of the standings.
Well, I think that's fair, because I think that happens a lot to some of the schools down toward the bottom half of the league each year. And you know, last year indicates exactly what you're saying, Jeremy, with Sarver and Kello lost to graduation, but I tell you, they return a couple really nice players. Smith is a really, really good baseball player. He's a tough out, can play a lot of different positions on the diamond. The Wolfter kid coming back, threw the ball real well so far early in the year. Yeah, this is a program I would really encourage fans to take a look at a couple things. They played a lot of close games last year. They were battle tested, and that showed up in a sectional championship, beat a really good Portsmouth West team. And they also have JV baseball this year as the numbers start to grow a little bit there. So I like the direction of the Huntington program. This is a team that really 2 through 8, anybody can really get anybody. And I think you're going to see that from this Huntington squad.
Well, next we move on to the Paint Valley Bearcats. And, you know, you've got a lot of athletes that have experienced success in their careers. It's really been a special run at Paint Valley over the course of the last year with the tournament success that they've had and the amount of winning done by, you know, a core nucleus that really makes up this veteran Bearcat squad.
Well, it really is. I think when you talk about the Paint Valley group, you would be cheating the entire process if you didn't talk about the kids in terms of what they've done in all their sports. And really, it started to kind of breed success throughout season to season, from the fall to the winter and to the spring. I know a lot of people are going to know the names Mason McCloy, Anthony McFadden, Tegan McFadden, Clay Archer, and Caleb Johnson returned from last year as well. But really, a deep junior class with some nice sophomores blended in. Again, experience has been important. How deep is the pitching? That might be the question mark. I'm sure if the sun ever shines and we're forced to play some of these games in a row, that's going to be the question that ends up being probably the million-dollar question in terms of how competitive this group can be in the 14-game SVC grind.
Well, you know, kind of sticking with the theme of having some success and having an identity that includes, a scrappiness that is key to being successful in baseball and depth. I think that can, you know, describe the Piketon Red Streaks.
Well, I think so too. I think this is a group that they play extremely hard. This is kind of a team, Jeremy, that has 4 or 5 kids that are going to be names you recognize, led by an Ethan Fremder, a second team Ohio kid from a year ago. The Jordan kid's really talented on the mound. But then you're also going to start to blend in some young pieces. So you're going to get a mix here. And I think, again, this is a team that when they have their top 2-3 pitchers pitching in order on their rotation, they're really good. It's a lineup that's going to get better as the year goes on, because, again, some of the underclassmen, once they get 15, 20 SVC at-bats under their belt, they're going to start to get a little bit more comfortable. And so, again, this is a Piketon team that that can be really dangerous in the league. So when I look at Dena, Huntington, Paint Valley, and Piketon, I think we're starting to see a theme already of experience and depth. Those seem to be two words we're using a lot on preview shows, but boy are they key, because I think experience can cover up a lot of things in early season games. And then the depth is kind of what gets you over the hump as you start to move into these segments where maybe the weather will force you to play maybe as many as 4 or 5 league games in a week.
No question, Shane. And I'll just hit you with one more thing. You know, we talk about momentum swings, and you know, you had a slip up in the softball show about volleyball. You know, momentum in volleyball is so critical. And I think the only thing that can rival that in high school sports is high school baseball. So when you talk about that experience, do you think there's merit in the fact that getting off to a strong start because it's such a short season and building that momentum is pretty critical into optimal success?
Well, it's funny you mention that, Jeremy, because I agree with everything you just said. What I would add to that is how you handle the adversity due to your experience, because what happens is baseball has a lot of downtime to it. When you consider, you know, you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, baseball is boring, too much downtime or whatever. But what happens is I've noticed with teams in the past, if you have a younger group, a lot of times their reaction to a negative or to adversity is usually not very good. And one mistake ends up to 2 to 3 to 4. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed is kids start to become more experienced. If you watch an experienced baseball team, they'll find a way to have what I refer to as damage control. They'll take an inning that maybe their freshman sophomore year would have ended up 4 or 5 runs, and they'll find a way to hold it to 1 or 2. And what that does is it keeps the morale up. It keeps working into the next inning and so forth. So I think you make a great point there. Another example of where experience and depth play a big role. So when I look at that first half, Jeremy, I think we're off to a nice start in breaking down our 2015 baseball teams, Edina, Huntington, Paint Valley, Piketon. I would encourage SBC fans to stay with us as we move to the next segment coming out of the break. Jeremy will continue to take the lead, we'll go with Southeastern, Uniota, Westfall, and Zane Trace. So stay with us. Well, Jeremy, I know on the Southeastern real quick, I'll jump ahead of you here real quick. I know you've had a chance to see them a little bit early in the year as well. Just your thoughts on the Panthers.
Well, yeah, I got a surprise opportunity on my way home, actually, and I thought through the rain there wouldn't be any baseball going on. But, you know, Southeastern played an online game with Benton County, so I got the opportunity to check that out. You know, really impressed with what Coach Evans does at Southeastern. Man, he's got a passion, loves the game. He's like a baseball historian, and yeah, I love talking to him about baseball. And you can see some of that passion in his players now. Just the way they approach the game and approach their at bats. There's a level of commitment and high expectations. And you know, that's the only way you're going to compete in this baseball league. But saw some versatility there, you know, some athletes in the outfield. They ran the bases fairly aggressively and really grinded some good at bats and some tough conditions and mist and downpours and high winds and then sunshine, a little diversity in that game tonight.
Well, I know for Southeastern, a year ago they get to 12-11 overall, 4 league wins, which, you know, again, the league record a little unfair last year, because keep in mind in the SVC last year with Edina running away at 13-1, the difference between second and eighth, 8 wins and 4 wins. So, you know, the parity was obviously there, and Southeastern was much a part of that. Obviously, the Dye kid's a special talent, obviously as a pitcher, but really just as a baseball player in general. Hendershot, Johnson, Deal, Hopkins, Triplett, Pop. I mean, I could go right down the list. This is a group, when we talk about experience, what you do is you start to see a lot of names that's played a lot of varsity baseball. So, yeah, I think this is a dangerous team. I think it's a group that brings 2-3 arms at you and a nice lineup. Yeah, good baseball team.
Well, and that takes us to Unioto, and you know, Unioto found themselves in that second place spot last year after you know, some ups and downs. Really had a nice stretch towards the end of the season, and they bring back some athletes and some, again, you know, kids that are used to winning. But you know, they're going to rely on some newcomers to determine their success as well.
Well, they do. They lose the Arm of State in there on the mound, a good player. But I know White comes back. I know Coach Taylor talked about the White kid early in his career doing some things that really he'd never had a kid at that age do, which is really saying something when you consider the talent he's had over the years. The Edler kid's a really nice player behind the plate. Atkins off to a really hot start hitting the baseball, gives them another great athlete. Ogan, some other kids. Parker, I'm sure I'm missing a couple there, but just as I had a chance to see them early in the year here in a non-league game, I would say this from the experience I've had as a coach too. Let's be patient with this Unioto group, because a lot of guys I just named were basketball guys for Coach Hoops, and they had kind of a late go in terms of getting after it on the baseball side, and there's just no replacement for your at-bats. I mean, some of these kids are entering the regular season, and I don't even know if they've had 10, 15 live at-bats. I mean, that's crazy. So it's one of those situations where, again, Unioto is a team that always brings great depth. You'll be 3 weeks into the season here, and you'll start to see 6, 7, 8 different names you'll get familiar with, and they're going to bring a lot of depth throughout their lineup. So again, this Unioto team, don't sleep on them at all. They're extremely dangerous.
Well, and that brings us to Westfall, and you know, Coach Thomas and the Mustangs. You know, traditionally, you know you're going to get you know, hard nosed style of play where they're going to try to take advantage of your mistakes, and usually a team that's going to find a way to create offense, whether it's by power or manufacturing. You know, the question mark might be the depth of pitching.
Well, I think that's fair. I think when it comes to Westfall, you know, Trevor Thomas is a guy that's probably as underrated as any coach in any sport we have in our league. What he's done for quite a while now with the Westfall program, that they do graduate a first teamer last year, and the Green kid, Josh Green. But you look down through Staten as well, I guess, did graduate. But there's a lot of names coming back here as I start to. You know, as I start to go down through their lineup, I mean, I'm thinking, let's see, Price and Klein, Armin Trout, Harden, for sure. Harden's a good player. Nunnemaker, Kaiser, Farrell. So there's a lot of kids there that jump out as very capable offensive threats. There's some guys that can play multiple positions defensively. I think what you're saying probably is a little bit fair on the mound, though. But I'll tell you, those kids are going to be a year better as well. This is a Westfall team that I think's extremely dangerous.
And then finally, we wrap things up with Zane Trace Pioneers, and they are the one team that just seems unfazed by the weather, because they've obviously played when it's 27 and flipped that when it's 72 and played in the rain, and they've done a little bit of everything, but they've managed to get some games in the young season. Talk to us a little bit about Coach Allen's.
Well, that doesn't surprise you at all if you know Ron Allen. In all seriousness, few people love the game of baseball like Coach Allen, and I think that passion just has been something that's been instilled in the program for well over a decade now. Now, they do take a hit on the mound with graduation with Henny and Swackhammer, but this is a group that has a lot of ability. Davis and Wolf and Graves and Barr, Rittenhouse, Dunkel, there's a lot of kids throughout that lineup that can produce. I think the key with Zane Trace is going to be their young pitchers just getting some innings under their belt. George from the right side, the Brooks kids throwing the ball well early in the year. There's going to be two or three arms that develop into their roles. And then usually with Zane Trace, I guess if there's one thing that jumps out at me, Jeremy, a lot of times the Zane Trace has been more of a 4, 5, 6 guys in the lineup that maybe bring a lot of pop. There's definitely some double extra base type of pop in this lineup, but Coach Allen was telling me he thinks it's one of his faster teams, and I think as the year goes on, you'll start to see them incorporate that a little bit in their offense. So this is a team that I know, watching them early in the year, They've played some close games already, and I think this is going to be an offense that, man, a week or two from now is really going to start to have a lot of versatility to it, I think. So, you know, I guess I look down through Southeastern and Uniota and Westfall and Zane Trace, and I guess I just continue to see the balance. As I look at last year's standings, I can certainly see why people are looking at the league in the same way. There's just no such thing as a bad baseball team in the SBC. It's just something that's been consistent, and I think that'll probably be the case. Now, before we get into our three up, three down segment, let me throw this back, but you, Jeremy. You know, there's been a lot of talk on temperatures, and I think we're going to get ourselves into situations here with some rain and some different things. The first weekend there, I thought of you because you've always have good baseball opinion. I enjoy talking the game with you. Is there a set as you were coming through the college game and the different things? What would be a temperature that jumps out at you in terms of the cutoff? Is it a wind chill? Is it conditions? If it's sunny, can it be 38? Or if it's cloudy, should it be 4? What's maybe the coldest you've played, or just your opinion as a coach or an athletic director or principal when you're going to make a call on the play or not?
Well, I think I don't know if there's a magic number. I love my little AccuWeather app on my iPhone, and it gives you the real feel. And you know, sometimes it's 32 and it feels like it's 21, and sometimes it's 32 and it feels like it's 41. And you know, I think those are the type of things you have to gauge. Wind chill is definitely a factor. I think, like it or not, as an administrator or as a coach, whoever's making that call. I think a lot of things come into play. If you've been rained out all week and it's 32 degrees or 29 degrees, you might find a way to play. Whereas if you've been playing all week long and that happens, it's a little easier to go ahead and cancel that game. So I just think there's so many factors. I don't know that there's a magic number. I never felt comfortable, you know, even collegiately, playing when you couldn't feel your face. but that had much more to do with the wind than the actual air temperature. And, you know, part of that's just the challenge of playing spring baseball in Ohio. But at a certain point, you know, when everybody's just waiting for the game to be over, I don't know if there's much fun in that. So I think you have to take that in consideration.
Well, that was an early season topic that I told some people that we would fit into our preview show there just because it was such a hot topic. I guess I shouldn't say hot topic. It was quite the cold topic there in the opening weekend. But I want to move into a new segment here, our three up, three down. People who are familiar with SVC Sports Talk over the years here know on our basketball side of things, we would do a fast break and we take three quick questions where Jeremy will go first and I'll go second and we'll give an answer. Let's have this brought to our fans, Jeremy, by the Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, that phone number I'd given you early is 740-986-GOLF. And you want to ask for Dave or Kevin, tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you, because they're going to come up with some real good deals for our listeners and take care of you when you go up there to get out on the golf course. So I'll tell you what, Bruce, in our first three up, three down on the baseball side here, let us know what you have for us.
What word or phrase would best highlight this year's SVC League?
Who does number two work for?
I will call it a relentless grind.
Take pitchers out of the equation for this answer and give fans a position player who could impact the race in the 2015 season.
Well, you know, it's hard to take pitchers out of the equation sometimes in baseball because they don't just pitch. But I think Tegan McFadden is my go-to here. I think you saw, you know, the presence that Harper had last year to Dean as a catcher. And McFadden kind of running the pitching staff, the now veteran pitching staff of the Bearcats, and directing the defense, I think is going to play a critical role in not only the SVC success, you know, but into the tournament.
Well, I think you could probably go a lot of different players on Adina. The problem is they all pitch. So I think I would probably have to go with the Thomas kid, because beyond his pitching, I think you could utilize him here, his ability to play a lot of different positions with an incredible arm, and his bat's obviously going to be a factor as well.
Give a position with great depth in this year's league and explain how you think this position could really impact the league race.
Well, I think I'll kind of feed off of that with Jonathan Thomas. I think the outfield is pretty darn impressive. You think of some of the athletes that we have running around out there, you know, even if they're pitchers as well. But, you know, just in early going, you see, Thomas, Dye, the Dunkel kid at St. Trey, Stanforth, Adkins. And it just kind of goes on and on. When you can put that kind of talent and athleticism in the outfield, it just shows you the pool of talent in the league.
Well, I think I'll go with your second answer and piggyback as well, and I'll go to the catcher position here. I think that there's just some great depth. You mentioned McFadden, the Fremder kid, Edler. Chester takes over the big shoes to fill there to Dina. The Davis kid's terrific. A lot of those kids I mentioned also hit in the top third of the order. So, you mentioned some of those outfielders as well. Can't disagree with you there.
Well, Shane, I think good discussion there from the three up, three down. Maybe back to that order phrase and just explain. I'll start out. Obviously, I think we have another race for second place. At least that's the way it looks in the early going. But that also refers to number two being, finding that number two pitcher and that depth in the lineup, and who's going to be, hit behind the guy that maybe they're pitching around on this night and that. So I think those are a lot of the intrigue that I have with the league. Maybe just explain your phrase.
Well, I don't think we're that far off of one another here in terms of that's what makes it, the grind just never ending, so to speak. It's you're in one battle on a Monday night, you come right back on a Wednesday, and you're going to be there again. Well, now the rain hits. Once the sun eventually would shine, that there's going to be a time where you play a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday stretch. I want to say last year we ran into two different times. We played three straight nights in the league and ended up playing four out of five nights, and that'll tax a pitching staff. You talk about it, who's your number two. Then you got to find out who's like your number four and five. And it's always fun to watch the scores. You'll see some teams play a 3-2 game, and then two nights later, you'll see teams play a 12-11 game. I think that's probably if you're truly going to look at the standings last year, what separated Adina and Uniota is when you got into that 3-4-5 on the pitching staff, their ability to throw strikes, their ability to throw versatility at you, a lot of different types of arms. And then what you got to be careful with too, if you're a team with only one or two pitchers, you've got to be careful to protect the arm, because if you get into a situation where you've got to shut a kid down for 4, 5, 6 days, now you're really in trouble. And it can really impact the standings there. So I think that, relentless grind can really wear on you, not just as a pitching staff, but just as a team, in terms of there's no such thing as a night off. I mentioned early there's eight really good baseball teams in this league, and you've got to be ready to go every night.
Well, I hit you with one other thing, and I don't know, maybe this is a topic we can get some feedback on for future shows, but the SOC, the coaches there pushed to play the home and home, you play the same team back to back and kind of forcing you to use different pitchers. Maybe your take on that and that outlook for a conference.
Well, that is a great question, because, I have been in conversation in the off season with some people around other leagues. I think the key there is, what going in, it's fair for everybody involved, and it certainly, weather could probably impact that and mm-hmm. tweak that a little bit as well. But yeah, I think there's some I certainly see the reasoning behind that in terms of trying to find the best overall teams and so forth. So I know we've always used the Monday, Wednesday, Friday in our league. I know sometimes non-league schools are not real happy with us when it comes to a Tuesday, Thursday schedule. So now you come into a situation where a lot of teams have lost two doubleheaders here on the first two Saturdays. And then you get this type of weather. There's really a concern that I know there's a lot of teams concerned. Are we going to be able to play 21, 22 baseball games before it's all said and done? So, scheduling issues are going to be quite the topic. I'm sure that we'll get a chance to revisit this. But, yeah, anything scheduling, I would like to get feedback from just even fans in terms of not just the league schedule, but the non-league. How do you feel? Maybe I know we have some listeners throughout the area. How do you feel with the SVC setup where a Monday night game canceled, it's automatically moved to Tuesday, and you know, you may get a Tuesday morning call saying your game's canceled that night. And I know that we've had a lot of feedback from other conferences. Jeremy, you grew up in a neighboring conference there. What's your take when you played or as a coach, if you have an SVC game scheduled on a Tuesday night? Was the TVC that strict in terms of the very next night? Were they a little bit more lenient when it comes to the non-league scheduling?
No, there was no distinct policy. I actually went through a lot of different types of scheduling. For the most part, it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But I actually played and coached as the league grew. And, at one point where you it was kind of like the Big Ten where there were so many teams, you played an unbalanced schedule. You had so many league games, but you didn't necessarily play everybody home and home. Then we went to two divisions and we played Monday, Friday within your division, and the Wednesday game was cross division. So that was interesting because then theoretically against your own division, you could throw the same pitcher Monday, Friday throughout the season. Shrunk again, and then we were playing Monday, Thursday, which I thought was odd because we had a hard time, picking up games on Wednesday and Friday because pretty much everybody else played. So I've been able to experience a lot of diversity in that in the scheduling realm. And at the end of the day, I don't know what I like best. You just know it going in, and you make your adjustments, and you go out and play the game.
Well, Jeremy, there is one thing I want to get to before we get out of here this week. I do want to let fans know Facebook and Twitter still available to let us know your comments as well as our inbox. That's admin1@svcsportzone.com or give us a call 740-569-3254. And let's include some track as well. We're going to be talking track throughout the spring as we have some really special athletes on the track. We have a segment we call Have a Clue Blue. And again, if you're familiar with SVC Sports Talk, we talk a lot of Liar Liar Stripes on Fire in basketball, where Jeremy puts on the stripes there and takes on some officiating or game management questions. The one thing that I've been in some really good conversations as a young coach, as I continue to try to grow, I'm always leaning on the incredible coaching in our league. And I've had this conversation with Trevor up at Westfall, Gene at Piketon, Ron at St. Trace, and Tony. If we get into the pitching rule of the 10 innings, and a lot of times so much Jeremy's made a pitch count, I guess the one thing I wanted to ask you here is not really an umpire related thing. It's more of a coaching and what the spirit of the rule is to do to protect the kid's arm. There's been a lot of talk of it being more of a pitch count than an inning rule. And there's two theories out there, and I wanted to see baseball wise where you stand on this. A lot of people will talk about it's not necessarily the total number of pitches. A kid may throw 115, 120 pitches in a game, but it's more about the stress on the pitcher. What was there innings where they stretch out 35, 40 in an inning, or were they staying consistently 15, 20? Were they constantly throwing with men on base? Do you buy the stressful pitch count, or is pitch count the pitch count? Would you be in favor of them looking more at a pitch count rule compared to the inning rule?
No, I think the stress – the stressful inning is much more important than the pitch count. I'm not a huge fan of a pitch count rule for that you know, for that simple fact. I think the biggest factor in the high school game is, you know, what's that kid doing the next two nights or the two nights before he pitches?
Sure.
You know, if he's got to make a strong throw from the outfield or he's playing shortstop, you know, your recovery time is completely different depending on what your roles are in between starts. And I think that plays a huge factor. Not to mention, you know, if you're pitching and you're the leadoff hitter and you're on base three times, you know, you don't sit down. You know, that whole game, you're involved and you're active. And some kids are going to, you know, that's going to be beneficial because when they go out to warm up, they're not warming up. They're just continuing to play. Whereas somebody that, you know, maybe isn't, maybe doesn't even bat.
Sure.
You know, they do have to warm up. And I think it, you know, everybody's arm is different. And I think, you know, we're really putting a lot on the coaches to just know their players and make good decisions.
Well, that's certainly a topic I want to get some feedback on just from a fan's perspective. We have a lot of fans out there that pitch plenty in their high school days, and probably a lot of our parents nowadays, Jeremy, grew up in the day where there was no inning rule and so forth. Right. And I'd be interested to see as maybe they've gotten involved and coached some Little League or some Legion ball or whatnot, just some of their opinions on this. So good stuff there. Obviously, the Have a Clue Blue usually will go toward the rule book or an umpire type of question, but we can certainly take on just baseball topics and so forth there. So a lot of fun this week, Jeremy. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun throughout the spring. Again, that phone number, fans, is 740-569-3254. Fans, appreciate you listening to our preview show here for baseball. Please get on the website and check out our softball preview as well. Also, make sure to check out the website each week during the spring to make sure you're catching up on all the SVC Sports Talk. So until the next time we get together for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the fine people in at DBK Media Services, and for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportzone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.